This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is Monday, the 9th of May 2022 at 12:04 p.m. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for around about an hour today or thereabouts. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, get us via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the number, as you all well know by now. You can also get us via Twitter if you are so inclined. Get us at BFM Radio. Today, we're going to be talking about the SE My 2030, the new agenda for social enterprises, the Malaysia Social Entrepreneurship Blueprint 2030. SE My 2030 has been touted as, quote, the most ambitious ever attempt in the Asia-Pacific region to promote social entrepreneurship. We're talking about that. So the last month, the Prime Minister, Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, launched what some have called the most ambitious ever attempt in the region to promote social entrepreneurship. It's a detailed vision on how Malaysia can embrace social innovation in this decade. The focus of the strategy is on how to spur a national ecosystem centered on thousands of new social entrepreneurs with ambitious targets of having 5,000 of them by 2025 and 10,000 of them by 2030. The blueprint also focuses on how to harness social innovation to bring the transformative changes Malaysia needs to achieve and to ensure a fairer and more prosperous future.
Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister believes the new blueprint will provide an effective regulatory and governance framework to ensure social enterprises operate with responsibility and accountability, apart from building the confidence of the people and the private sector. Now, this blueprint outlines five objectives in line with the aspirations, strategies, and initiatives set out under the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030, the National Entrepreneurship Policy 2030, and the 12th Malaysia Plan as well. So, SE My 2030 has also set new descriptions for more inclusive enterprises in line with the characteristics of social enterprises at the global level. The framework developed by the Entrepreneur Development and Cooperatives Ministry, also known as KUSCOP, also outlines initiatives for enhancing awareness, reach, and inculcation of a social entrepreneurship concept that is competitive and impactful to improve the livelihood of society.
The Prime Minister also assured the SE My 2030 outlines targeted strategies for enhancing the capability and competency of social enterprises, I do apologise, to ensure social enterprises could expand and be competitive. He said this includes providing more structured training on the adaptation of technology and digitalisation, widening access to financing and financial support, and providing facilitation for access to the domestic and international markets. Ismail Sabri also confirmed that the government, through KUSCOP, would review and upgrade the framework for registration and accreditation of existing social enterprises to enable them to get wider access to aid and opportunities to grow.
Now, we know how social entrepreneurship in Malaysia is still in its infancy. Unlike the cooperatives and micro, small and medium enterprises, or the MSME sectors, many important elements, including regulatory framework, financial infrastructure, and financial security networks, haven't been set up yet. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't stopped some social enterprises here from thriving. The Prime Minister said that despite grappling with various issues and challenges, local social entrepreneurship has big potential for development. And in fact, with the government's help, several social enterprises in the country have already achieved success. So he cited the Helping Hands Penang Shop, which had succeeded in empowering Penang women by providing them an opportunity to generate income through the production of various handicraft products. And another success story is My Medical Healthcare, which offers services to the less fortunate group, which doesn't have access to health services, including in Sabah. Mm-hmm. So here is a quote from the Prime Minister. The government is aware of the potential and important role of social entrepreneurship in driving the country's socioeconomic growth. In this connection, a long-term national policy and objective should be formulated. Social enterprises should continue to be empowered and their role strengthened to deal with unexpected challenges and changes, apart from raising their performance to the next level, in line with the needs and demands of society and the environment.
He also urged all parties with an interest in social entrepreneurship development, especially public and private agencies, social impact investors and corporate bodies, to continue giving their solid support, cooperation and commitment. In fact, private companies that are participating in efforts to empower social enterprises under the blueprint will be given income tax exemption for 3 years. Entrepreneurship Development and Cooperatives MEDAC Minister Tansri Noh Omar said this exemption is among the benefits offered by the government to encourage the private sector to provide social assistance to people to the people in need. Noh Omar also revealed the government hopes to increase the country's social enterprise revenue to 2.6 billion ringgit in 2030, compared to about 100 million currently under the blueprint. He also hopes they can offer 92,000 job opportunities to locals, based on the target of creating 10,000 social enterprises in the same period. Currently, it is reported that there are only 414 social enterprise companies in the country, and they have provided 3,500 job opportunities.
Mm-hmm. So after the break, we'll be speaking to Kuhan Pati, co-founder of Masala Wheels and Pepper Labs, about his thoughts on the blueprint, and we'll be talking to him about what it means for social enterprises in Malaysia and the overall industry outlook, as he was part of the consultative team that provided input to the NEAC that shaped the blueprint.
Stick around, folks. As we mentioned, we've got people coming up after the break. And if you have anything you'd like to talk to us about, drop us a WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We've got some music to take us into the break. It's Edwin Starr with War here on Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9.
Brave, free Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're speaking about the Malaysia Social Entrepreneurship Blueprint 2030, SE My 2030. It's been touted as the most ambitious ever attempt in the Asia-Pacific region to promote social entrepreneurship. We've been discussing what the blueprint means to local social enterprises and those in the B40 category, as well as some of the key instruments that need to be activated in order for this blueprint to realise its goals. We'll have more on that in just a moment. We have somebody on the phone line with us. It is Kuhan Pati, the co-founder of Masala Wheels and Pepper Labs. Kuhan was also part of the consultative team that provided input to the NEAC that shaped the social enterprise blueprint. Now, let's kick off then straight away. What are some of the things mentioned in the social enterprise blueprint that will benefit social enterprises?
Now, there are six factors that were identified to support the development of the social enterprise ecosystem. But I think there are a few that is worth mentioning, because these are the ones that will be taking social enterprises forward as compared to where it was from the first blueprint as we transition into the next 10-year plan. So the first one that is worth mentioning is the establishment of a central agency for monitoring and also for a structured information system. Now, the second one is there has been great importance given in this blueprint on market development and also access. And I think many social enterprises here are looking forward to it as we move from the awareness phase to the growth and scale-up phases in coming years. Now, the third one is the role of private and public sectors in jointly building this ecosystem through a shared risk. And this has also been clearly outlined in the Social Enterprise Action Framework. Now, the fourth one that will benefit social enterprises in Malaysia is the importance given on impact measurement. As we have seen over the years, many social enterprises have delivered immense impact in both social and also economic contribution. Now, how do we validate this? And how do we shout out loud about the impact that has been delivered by these entities? So there has been a clear definition and plan outlined in the Social Enterprise Action Framework on the subject of impact measurement. And last but not least, there has been a good focus on collaboration in regional and also international sectors. And this is important for us to see social enterprises established in Malaysia or made in Malaysia to extend and step out beyond Malaysia.
Absolutely. And you know, jumping off that point, what would the blueprint mean to social enterprises and Malaysians, especially those in the B40 category?
Social enterprises closely work with underserved or marginalized communities. In Malaysia, many social enterprises impact B40 communities. For instance, we have Masala Wheels, which works with underserved communities, turning them into food entrepreneurs. We have Community Tukang Jahit, who builds the capacity of B40 women and provides them sewing skills and also business opportunities, and many other social enterprises of the same approach towards empowering the B40 community through economic means. Now, in this social enterprise blueprint, there are two objectives that have been clearly identified and are correlated to scaling and also amplifying the impact towards the B40 category. First one is the development of critical mass of social enterprises in Malaysia. That would mean developing more social innovation models in the likes of Masala Wheels or Community Tukang Jahit, where there will be more inclusive approaches undertaken to further empower the B40 category out of the poverty circle. Apart from that, we also see the objective and the push from this social enterprise framework in building an ecosystem that is integrated and holistic. That would also mean the adoption of successful social enterprise models into the delivery mechanism of both public and also private organizations. In that case, we get to see more social enterprises being adopted as means of sustainably impacting B40 category beneficiaries to stand on their own and also achieve economic freedom.
Okay. Karan, what do you think are the main challenges that social enterprises face in addressing the gaps of social and economic inequality here in Malaysia?
Common problems that social enterprises face have been also further validated by this survey, which includes financial institutional support and security to scale their businesses. The second one is business development support to go just beyond local, regional, or even to enter the international arena. The third one is market access, giving them equal opportunities just like any other SMEs, where social enterprises are able to tap into the supply chain, not only within Malaysia, not only in a public sector, but also including private sector and all the global market. Last but not least is the adoption of technology in innovation in terms of scaling the impact of social enterprises. So these are some of the challenges that are constantly prevalent among the ecosystem players in Malaysia and have been further validated from the survey that has been published in this action framework.
Okay. And is the social enterprise blueprint outlined sufficient to build a strong social enterprise industry for Malaysia to help alleviate social and economic inequality? If so, how? Or otherwise, what are some measures that can be taken to reduce social and economic inequality?
The Social Enterprise Action Framework has definitely outlined good strategies and also key enablers to achieve these strategies in coming years up to 2030. However, there are few areas that might require enhancements to achieve the full potential of the role of social enterprises in contributing towards social and economic growth in Malaysia. And these areas include the accreditation that was launched in 2019. An enhancement of this accreditation was not addressed in the action framework and is believed that it would be addressed as a separate documents in coming months. And that would be critical for social enterprises to achieve social and economic equality among the beneficiaries that they impact. Now, apart from that, a very robust governance structure is also important. Now, the details of this governance structure remains vague at this point of time. And also, milestones which are at a very granular stage, is also required. So these are details that we look forward to adding in coming months as the blueprint was successfully launched in April 2022.
Excellent. Stick with us. We're on the phone with Kuan Patti. He's the co-founder of Masala Wheels and Pepper Labs, also part of the consultative team that provided input to the NEAC that helped shape the social enterprise blueprint. Myself and Chris will be taking a short break here. We've got some music from Aretha Franklin and the Eurythmics with Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. When we come back, we're speaking about what the overall outlook for the social enterprise industry is like for the next 3 to 5 years. And again, if you do have any questions, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or at BFM Radio. We'll be right back here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're speaking about the Malaysia Social Entrepreneurship Blueprint 2030, SE My 2030. It's been touted as, quote, the most ambitious ever attempt in the Asia-Pacific region to promote social entrepreneurship. We've been discussing what the blueprint means to local social enterprises and those in the B40 category, as well as some of the key instruments that need to be activated in order for this blueprint to realize its goals. We have on the phone with us Kuan Patti, the co-founder of Masala Wheels and Pepper Labs. He was also part of the consultative team that provided input to the NEAC that helped shape the social enterprise blueprint. Thank you for waiting on the phone for us, Kuan. Now, moving on, with this blueprint in place, what do you think is the overall outlook for the social enterprise industry in the next kind of 3 to 5 years?
Now, as it stands, there are 414 registered social enterprises. And in 2025, the government aspires to achieve at least 5,000 social enterprises. Now, this is a number which is big and which is more than tenfold growth from where we are at this point of time. However, this is also consistent with the objective of this social enterprise blueprint, where it aims to create a critical mass of social enterprises in addressing the social and economic inequality in Malaysia. The blueprint also looks forward to increasing the number of accredited social enterprises. So I believe that with the enhanced accreditation rolling out in coming months and being addressed, especially the gaps that have been identified by the ecosystem in the last few years, we hope that once these gaps have been identified, there would be more social enterprises accredited and at the same time given equal opportunities towards market access and also capacity building. However, what is important for the ecosystem to understand that is the government intends to grow the social entrepreneurship ecosystem up to 1.3 billion worth of procurement in the next coming 3 years. Now, this is very critical for the ministry to anchor upon, because the success of achieving this procurement value would be one of the areas that receive utmost attention in the next 3 years, not only among local ecosystem players, but also global ecosystem players. And last but not least, we look at social enterprises creating job opportunities up to 47,000 in the next 3 years. And that's once again almost more than tenfold. And that requires detailed action plan on achieving this. And this is where strategic partners will be required. Strategic stakeholders would have to be engaged in terms of achieving these numbers in the next 3 to 5 years.
Mm. All right. And what is the economic impact that social enterprises bring to the economy? How are they different from, say, an NGO or an NPO, for example?
Now, as we are aware that social enterprises impose a very different economic model as compared to NGOs or non-profit organizations in the sense that they deliver social impact while generating a certain revenue. Now, this is where the accreditation will play a role, where we see social enterprises are striking a good balance between generating income, at the same time improving and contributing towards economic growth and also social impact. Now, in Malaysia, this space has been governed through the social enterprise accreditation that was launched in 2019 to control, advance to a certain extent, extreme profiteering among social enterprises. Now, with the further enhancements to the social enterprise accreditation, we would be able to see a good balance between both economic and also social impact contribution among these enterprises. Compared to NGOs and also non-profit organizations, which are pretty much focused on delivering social good and also social impact, but through means of probably grants or once-off donations, social enterprises, on the other hand, deliver impact in a very sustainable mode through the economic model that they have incorporated into their enterprises. A good example, we have Food Lab, which is a social enterprise that has been incubated under the Petronas Seed Lab organization. And this social enterprise actually takes a minimal commission from foodpreneurs that they incubate at their shared cloud kitchen space while adding value to these foodpreneurs that are onboarded into their shared kitchen space. So in that sense, they generate revenue for them to stay afloat and also sustain their business model. At the same time, the foodpreneurs that has been onboarded in their ecosystem are gaining access to an integrated infrastructure with business opportunities that have been built upon by these social entrepreneurs at Food Lab.
Okay. Here's the thing. We've seen so many blueprints drawn up, and often, you know, we fall short of these targets. What are the key instruments or levers that need to be activated in order for this blueprint to actually realize its goals?
Indeed, the success of the first social enterprise blueprint that was launched in 2015 and lasted us for the last 3 years up to 2018 is definitely closely associated to the role that MAGIC played as an anchoring agency. The current social enterprise action framework, the governance structure that is going to be put in place would be critical and also an instrument that would actually help to achieve the goals, the strategies, and also the milestones that have been identified in this blueprint. Now, apart from that, the role of key stakeholders and intermediaries in building this ecosystem is also equally important, both from the public and also private organizations. Cross-ministerial collaboration with the demarcation, a very clear demarcation of the roles and responsibilities in achieving these goals would be critical in coming years for this action framework as well. Just like many other blueprints, we hope that the social enterprise action framework would definitely achieve its goal of development, and there would be a constant gap assessment conducted on a year-to-year basis with a very good and strong involvement from both top-down and bottoms-up approach involving social enterprises and also a good leadership from both the Prime Minister's office and also the Minister's office.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Kuan. That was Kuan Patti, the co-founder of Masala Wheels and Pepper Labs. He was also part of the consultative team that provided input to the NEAC that shaped the social enterprise blueprint. It's pretty much time for me and Chris to wrap up for today. But if you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can head over to our website where you can download the podcast shortly, or you can listen to it via the BFM app, which is available, of course, in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. And the European Union was founded in 1993 as a political and economic union between European countries that sets policies concerning the members' economies and security. To some, the EU is an overblown bureaucracy that drains money and compromises the power of sovereign states. But for others, it is the best way to meet challenges smaller nations might struggle with. However, after decades of integration and unity, it faces one of its most devastating crises so far, a war in Ukraine. And in conjunction with Europe Day, the Breakfast Grill will be spoke with His Excellency Michalis Rokas, the Ambassador of the European Union to Malaysia, to discuss his views on the ongoing conflict in Europe, the future of the EU, and its relationship with Malaysia. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. On behalf of Christine Wong and myself, this has been Enterprise BizBytes. To take us up to the top of the hour, we've got music from Led Zeppelin and White Denim. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned in to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.